The Spinoff Podcast Network. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Look at our red and green, by the way. Christmas is coming.
Christmas is coming.
Yeah.
Well, it was grey.
No, very much grey.
Aren't you famously colourblind?
So is Samuel's t-shirt green as well?
It's a pretty similar colour, to
yeah,
be fair.
Yeah, it seems like the same.
It's a little bit shade darker perhaps, but yeah.
Oh yeah, wow.
And so you're...
What colour is that plant behind you?
We're Christmas between us.
What colour does that look
That's
like?
That's grey.
Is it really?
No, God.
So the plant looks green.
Yeah, but plants always look green. I just know that.
But how do you know what green is?
Well, exactly.
But if the plant looks green and
your top
is green also, can't you just go, this looks like the colour of a plant, therefore it is green?
Let's do a bloody podcast.
This is a real pod.
I'm waiting for Samuel to say that we're rolling.
Oh yeah, we've been rolling.
Oh, are you getting
okay,
up?
Well, we've got a
things.
Lot of materials okay. for
right.
the
well,
cold
that's
open.
That's the end of our podcast.
What colour are the materials?
Welcome to The Real Pod. My name's Jane Yee, joined by Alex Casey and Duncan Grieve, and we're laughing and smiling. We love each other, but we have been miserable for the last week.
If you have to say it.
It's been a hard week after announcing that we're shutting shop.
I'm just ignoring it.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's been some emotional texts, some emotional emails.
And it's terrible when these things happen because you get reminded by how, like, great... things are like so fun chatting with you guys and just love the cornies to pieces and they're being so nice.
A corny sent me the best, Caitlin, who I met at the cause, sent me the most incredible video of her sister, of her doing a jig and her sister twerking at the same time to the cause.
Like, is this in response to your review?
Yeah.
Really yeah. good.
Oh, it's just great. People are so nice, aren't they?
They are, but let's not dwell on how nice people are. Let's move into the real news.
Wow. Real news. It's time for the
real news. I don't know if anyone cares, but Megan Anair is joining Jono and Ben.
There's been a lot of radio news this week.
Well, Maddie McLean's going to the hits.
Yeah, and leaving breakfast.
Yeah. Who is...
Interestingly, have any of you been called for a slot?
No.
Given that we're about to finish this prime broadcast?
No, have
That's
not
true, actually.
Been called for a slot.
But they could just check us into breakfast.
We're
know?
A ready-made package. Get rid of Jenny May and Chris, is it? What's his name?
Chris Chang? No.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
It is, yeah. I mean, maybe that's the problem, is that we are a trio and mostly they're sort of wanting to just slot someone in.
Yeah, but just do carte blanche, get rid of the whole current panel. Like, look at all the radio shows. They're all like so-and-so. It's all three pieces. So we're ready to go.
No, but Maddie McLean's just with Polly Harding, just a two-piece.
I thought you were going to say Polly Gillespie. I was like, that is a move.
I mean, radio powerhouses.
Does Polly have to be PJ because of that reason? Because Polly is just too powerful
too
a name.
Too many Pollys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should do a Polly poll and see which Polly people prefer.
I only recognise one Polly, to be clear.
Yeah.
Like, there are no others apart from Along Came.
That is a great movie. The toilet scene in that is too relatable for me.
truthfully, never seen it.
Nor
just recognise the DVD cover. This is the real pod.
It's a great movie. I think the interesting thing, of course, about Megan Denier joining Jono and Ben is that she was like unceremoniously ousted from the Fletch and Vaughan breakfast show.
Was she?
Yeah, like they never.
Did they not
tell her? She was on maternity leave.
She was on maternity leave. They never gave her. It was real tense, like, I don't know, like no shout outs on Instagram kind of style. And then she was like, I'm joining the greatest guys in radio, Jono and Ben. Read between the lines. speaking of great guys, Mike Pirro, you hung out with him, didn't you, Alex?
Oh, yeah. I saw it. Oh, this was a powerful moment. So I was at the Christchurch show, the famous Christchurch show. I went twice to the Christchurch show. This is how much of a Cantabrian I am now. I love farmyard animals and nothing else. But I saw Susie Cato was on stage wearing a large hat, debuting a new song. So I had Susie Cato standing behind me and then Mike Pirro approaching me. And I was like, I right now am stuck between, what is that physics thing? A movable object and an unstoppable force.
That's true.
Of New Zealand celebrity.
The way that Mike Pirro was moving was unstoppable. Like he was like chest forward. There was a real determination to a stride.
He was doing a deal. It was exciting to see him also because he was in summer garb. You know, he was very like ripped, little white ripped denim shorts, little
t-shirt. The pins were well and truly out.
No, his motorcycle gear. So I, of course, made Joe quickly stand to get a photo with Pirro in the background.
Oh, my God. I got the wrong Megan. It's Megan Pappas.
Oh, no.
Not Megan in here.
Oh, no.
Wrong Megan.
After she's been through.
After everything she's been through.
See, there are quite a few Megans.
Again, like
it's
this
not like
is
a
what PJ, she did the right thing changing to PJ. Yeah. She should, Megan Pappas, who's Megan Louise, should be ML.
Is she definitely Polly? Polly PJ?
Yeah. Polly Harding, yeah.
Okay, thank God.
She's Polly Jane, isn't she? Polly Jean, Polly
PJ Harvey.
Of Harding. Harding.
But that's PJs.
Confusing too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What a world.
I just don't want to be wrong. I'm just looking at you and you're wrong.
I'm so wrong.
So embarrassing.
But do you know what?
This is a real how embarrassment.
What are you going to do? Shut the shit down? Carry on. Sorry, Mike Pirro.
No, that was it. That was all. Just great to see it.
Really good.
Good to catch up with your old friend. T.I. Hare's in the Herald. T.I. Hare he has produced this podcast many a time. And he's got some recommendations of what to do around Auckland.
I really enjoyed them.
The Herald Premium.
Actually, just speaking of the real pod, just saw Te Ahe in the toilet and we had quite a long chat about his recommendations. My favourite one was the fish and chip shop, which is run by a really nice auntie who makes neither the best fish nor chips.
No, I know, but that's Te Ahe's way. And also his secret like smashing of 2 donut burgers or something?
I mean, that's like, I'm a disgusting man, but I feel like that might be, I mean, that's something I'd do. That's how bad it is.
I want to get some, snap some photos, like paparazzi style, of T.I. is smashing some, are they donut burgers? Is that what he
said? Donut burgers. You have to wear gloves, I'm pretty sure, to eat them. They're like that for long.
Seems like,
is it a savoury thing or a sweet thing?
It's savoury on the inside, sweet on the outside.
What the what?
I know.
Oh, this is MKR.
I honestly am feeling a bit like queasy just thinking about it.
I'm hungry.
I'm also hungry, but not for that.
Not for that. Never for that.
And I'm basically hungry for almost anything.
I would not eat that. Okay. In other news, this is personal news. I've got a new game addiction.
Oh, yeah.
And it's thanks to Isaiah and Jin from the spin-off Wairua Whānau. They work at Hexwork Productions. It's called BeatStar, and it's essentially like Guitar Hero for your phone, and I'm fucked. I'm so all in there.
What's your hours a day on your telephone?
I don't know what my hours are, but I am like quite happy to play Imagine Dragons. Like that's how bad it is. Like because I'm trying to beat the system.
Hold on,
Are you just like, are you plucking away on your phone?
I'm not plucking like a little violin or a little, what do you pluck? I don't know, little sitar or something. It's like, you know, the little pads move down the screen and you hit them on the beat at the right place.
Okay.
Or not just the beat, though. Here's the thing. Sometimes it's the melody. Sometimes it's the like a certain instrument or the vocal and it changes throughout.
Wow. So hey, have I, on this podcast, it feels like the appropriate venue for it, done my Imagine Dragons are good, like, routine?
No, but I might be joining you for that.
Come on.
Well, you might be joining Imagine Dragons by the sounds of things, Jay.
Oh my God, that's one of the funniest things you've ever said.
Is what? It actually?
Yeah. Like, why are you just so quick?
It was real radio host material. Like, the auditioning is on.
Are you listening, radio programmers?
No, obviously not. Obviously not. We've been begging for a long, long time.
I mean, they might be listening, but still, obviously not, you know?
Anyway, Imagine Dragons, like, so obviously when you've got young children, like single-digit children, you end up listening to a lot of Imagine Dragons because that's the sort of core demographic for them. But I think that they, when I started to, like, I used to think they were such a terrible band, like, almost the worst band. And then on some level, it was about the way that they progressed. They seemed to be like unselfconsciously doing kind of maximalist, not prog rock, almost like pomp rock, you know, like
pomp rock,
like Supertramp and Yes, yeah. And all of these like multi-tracked everything.
Everything's an anthem.
Yeah, and it's just huge. Like the production is just skyscraper large. The drums sound like thunder.
Everything's grey, like an industrial and full-on and pyrotechnic-y feeling.
Yeah, and it's just like, maybe this is awesome.
I think, you know what, because I also, off my weird gaming tragic trajectory, I watched Arcane, which was recommended to me by both Samuel and Tia here, because we're giant nerds in the podcast network, which is an animated, like an adult animated show based on League of Legends.
Whoa.
I know.
Well,
no, you can't even defend that.
But Imagine Dragons' Enemy is the opening track for it.
Oh,
and so I have a real
tune.
And I love the show, and so I have this really nice association there, and it's cracked open the Imagine Dragons door for me.
This is great.
I don't know anything. Imagine Dragons sits to me in total cultural blind spot. Like, I just don't know what it sounds like. Is it the same as, for me, Imagine Dragons is like Bastille?
Yep, yep.
Oh, no, yep. But Bastille is almost like cooler than Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, Bastille, but similar sort of like, Bastille is probably like Imagine Dragons light, like a bit poppier.
Yeah, I mean, but Imagine...
Imagine Dragons have got an angrier kind of a, you know, like that. It's what
a
you
little bit
list-
like Queen as well, like just big, you know, like everything's just huge.
Like if you
every
woke
melody
up,
is maxed out.
If you woke up and realized that you and like 50 other people had survived the apocalypse and you had to take on whatever caused the apocalypse, you would want to listen to Imagine Dragons to get up, basically.
Wow.
Very specific genre.
I reckon you should have a hone. I think here's my prediction. Alex Casey's going to like Imagine Dragons.
I think so. I think so. Imagine them in concert.
A pretty easy win on most stuff, you know.
Yeah.
We can all go together to the next concert, whenever that is.
We'll be like, the combined age of the rest of the crowd will be our combined age.
Exactly. It's great. We'll be like chaperones. People will ask us where the toilet is. All right, shall we move on? Have you guys got any other news? Any celeb spots or mold
Nothing
mold
for me.
Spots?
Mike Pirro was literally all of it.
Duncan?
No.
Okay. Let's move into. I've been dying to talk about MKR, so let's get into it.
Are you actually?
No. She hates it. It's boring now.
It's so boring. I have 4 weeks
to decide why I'm going to drop my entire life for you. I am disgusted at how much you have copied my husband.
Jesus, fuck.
Reality check.
Poignant.
Poignant.
Did you just fart?
How did you know? Okay, we're at the Glass House just down the road. Just down the road from our offices.
And
very
They got comped it, didn't they?
They got comped it. What do you mean? Like,
well, I mean,
they didn't have to pay for it.
No, because the Glass House got a lot of play.
Yeah.
They had the little closed for a private function thing, which they don't have public functions at Glass House. It's always a private function. So just say closed. But also, they were like talking it up, and you know, there was just a lot of Glass House chat, more so than if they'd paid for the venue.
My problem is, it's just down the road from three people who watch the show.
One of the celebrities from Fans versus Faves.
Thank you very much. Like, one of my fellow castmates was there. And Siobhan Rakere, who I was on C4 with. But that's besides the point. I wouldn't go without you. I would.
You
I
would.
You would.
Holy smokes.
You would cut us in an instant. No,
it would be like less than a second reply. They'd be like, I'm not even sure I've sent that email and she's already RSVP'd.
The point is we were not invited. That's all.
Did you consider that you should have been invited, Alex? Or is that just a Jane phenomenon?
I mean, I could understand the two of you, possibly. I did not think for a second.
I just think that reality TV, any reality TV producers should be inviting us to anything where we get to be like...
Well,
have you heard us talk about food? Yeah. Not good. Really bad.
You know, they haven't done that, and now they're going to have to live with no real pod.
Exactly. Now where are you going to get your audience from? Oh, the same place you always did. Righto.
I think that New Zealand Walk of Fame should be outside the glasshouse. Imagine that. If everyone got to imprint their hands, because that's where all the celebrities are most of the time. They're getting married there.
They're getting a photo against
show.
That wall.
This is a really good idea.
Well, you know, every time they have someone there, chuck your hands in the cement.
But not only that, across the road we've got Big Fan. But around the corner we've got that music building where Pure Heroin was recorded.
You've got New Zealand Courier Post there.
Not for much longer, actually. The lease is up. Kevin and Co.
Yeah.
Where they make all the comedy. There's actually a lot of...
spin-off.
Yeah, well, you know. Obviously.
It's Hollywood.
It's basically Hollywood.
Hollywood.
You know when you talk about people talk about going to Hollywood
it's
and being...
It's Morningwood, if you will.
Not very good, but very bad.
Dunk. And then you clip that and that's the promo for the radio show.
You are definitely Dunk, by the way.
Yeah, you have to be Dunk.
Yeah,
and you're Alex Casey, always spell LXKC.
Oh, okay.
Always.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
And then
I could be Lexi.
I think
that's
she's
kind
Lexi.
Of radio.
And you're Janie.
No, I think I'm Big Mum. I just go by Big Mum.
Like Big Mum.
Not even.
Oh, yeah, someone needs
name.
Like a fake nickname.
Dunk,
yeah.
Lexi, and Big Mum does sound like a radio show.
A really bad one.
And Morningwood could be our show. It's the Morning Woodhouse.
It's all out on a platter, right there. For like
the Morning Woodhouse.
Ross Flahive or
Michael
Leon Rao.
We on it sometimes just to give us updates on Dunedin politics.
Wow.
Oh, no.
God, see, so many great ideas. Anyway, okay. There's a 6-course degustation going on at the Glasshouse for charity. Guests have paid top dollar. What do you reckon? I reckon guests are there for free.
Guests definitely didn't pay. Celebrities don't know how to pay.
No. In fact, they go on shows to try and win money.
That's right.
Did MKR pay the celebrities? This is the question. Or do
you
think it was
total?
No, that's
why they did it for charity.
Yeah.
Oh, so they waived their fee for charity.
My face is here for charity.
Yeah.
Is that sort of...
I guess so. Anyway, we're speculating. We don't actually know. But you've got Rebecca Randall, who's... Is that her name? I don't know. Because I don't trust myself.
I think you're right. I don't know what the man's name is. I saw that man at Sushi Shop in Morningside.
Jack Hanna from Shortland Street.
Lovely man with eyes, yes.
Lovely man with eyes.
Yeah, he has a name and it's not Jack Hanna, but in Shortland Street it's Jack Hanna. He's Curtis Hanna's brother, Curtis from, you know, Treasure Island.
Jesus, these are just words now.
Tegan Yorworth. We know her from Treasure Island and also from Claire Chittam, Shortland Street, Waverly Wilson, Siobhan Rakere, Roy Mata. A lot of Shortland Street. In fact,
My or Flavour?
Almost. No, because Azura Lane is from Flavour and she was there.
But they seem to be like friends.
It's Tegan from Flavour.
And you're not allowed to
have friends
from the other stations.
Oh, I don't know. Look, anyway, lot of Shortland Streeters.
Yeah.
My friend Alex King from the island, remember? We were best mates.
So my theory about all the Shortland Street is this is a 7:30 p.m. TVNZ2 show, so they're trying to get the Shortland Street audience to keep on watching, get a little bit of a flavour, if you will, of My Kitchen Rules.
And Sonia Gray as well,
Sonny
friend of the
G.
Spinny.
Oh,
Sonny G.
Love that. Stacked table, really.
Oh, stacked. Yeah. So many ladies too.
Mm. Yeah.
Was there any other dudes apart from Jack? There was a couple of people from the charity itself, but in terms of star power, was it just Jack Hanna?
I think so. And he, I don't think, said a single
he
word.
He said very little, very, very little.
Alex King, on the other hand, she had been prepping for this role.
Yeah.
They all had good food chat.
They did.
They weren't just saying, yum.
But they were also doing what? The sort of thing that we do, which is like you say it and then go, is that right?
Yeah.
Is that the word you use? Do I sound fancy? Yeah.
I feel like they said that most of the time when they were taking a swing on like a French word. And then everyone would look at Manu and go, that'll
Claire Chittenden did that literally every time. She spoke mainly in French. And she would do sort of most of the way French, like a coutre mince. And it was really satisfying. It was really, I enjoyed it as a bit.
Manu doesn't know. He is drunk.
But there was a dry table, did you know? There was only one shot where you could see a single can of Emerson's Orange Ruffy. So my theory of it is that everyone at the table was dry because maybe that's something to do with the charity, but that Manu and Fastnage were absolutely smashing the grog as soon as, you know, they had special, like, grog breaks where they grog it up.
Okay, I just need to show you. You're not going to be able to see this, Alex, but or maybe I can walk it up to the camera. Where's the camera? Over there. Okay.
Are we on camera now? And this goes on the internet. Crazy.
That's been happening for ages, Duncan.
Oh, God.
What am I looking at?
You're looking at...
is that Alex King?
Yeah, okay. But we've got the boss. Yeah, there's Alex with the girls. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm looking at Alex and all the girls.
Look at Colin.
Colin is he standing on the table doing the double bird?
He is doing the double bird.
What the...
Wow, that's Fastnage. He is just... He is a rebel with a cause. Charity.
Hey, you're not doing that unless you've had some grog. I'm just
exactly
saying.
Exactly right. That is not grog behaviour.
It could just be Irish crack coming through yet again, you know?
True.
We just don't know.
You love the crack so much.
I love the crack.
Okay, let's talk food. Pan-fried scampi tails. Looks yum. Looks yum. Too much puree for Sonia, though. The ratio of scampi to puree, no.
Good on Sonia for coming out early with the critique.
She came out
swinging. The Pascal of the celebs in a way.
She'll love that.
That was Matt and Kurt. The second course was a ponzu salmon with lavash from JNC. I can't remember their names. Jess and Cindy.
But not store-bought lavash.
No, it is. I've had that store-bought lavash before.
He was so confident.
It was so embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
I would be so embarrassed if it was me.
But Manu just let him do it for a bit and then was like, no, they made it.
I don't think Manu has enjoyed many things more than that.
Oh, my God. Manu hates Pascal.
Yeah.
Hates him.
But he has to respect him because the man can cook.
He can cook. Lamb, clams, and grilled lettuce with Japanese-inspired vinaigrette from Anya and Emily.
Missed opportunity there to call it clam. Because how often can you get both words into one?
Clam.
Clam with lettuce.
Grilled lettuce.
And suddenly you're saying the B and lamb that you never normally say.
Yeah.
Someone said it was edible and I was hungry, so I ate it. Who was that?
I think that was Dawn from Shortland Street.
Yeah, okay. And Waverley loved it. Pascal was into it, but on the whole, bit of a weirdo mix. I'd eat it.
Well, it's like the lamb and poa from last week. You know, I do think you should get a degree of difficulty sort of amplifier when you try something weird. But if it doesn't come off, it's, you know, you're in trouble.
You've got to think about
your
audience.
I was more weirded out by the hot lettuce than anything else. I've never had done that. I've never put lettuce on a grill.
Why would you?
Why would you do that? You know?
I'm intrigued.
And they loved it. So, yeah, I mean, power to them. Who was that? Was that Anya and Emily?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just those crazy cats.
Crazy cats. Didn't work out well for them. Spoiler alert. Round number four, pan-fried John Dory with parsnip mash, Matt and Kurt. Vic and Pascal think they're playing it pretty safe. They're doing another puree/mash with seafood.
Have they ever cooked a bit of meat?
Well, they did in the next episode.
But Christ.
But, yeah, this is the problem with not having Kitchen HQ, because in Kitchen HQ, don't they have to cook the same meals sometimes so that they can be critiqued on their skills based on, like, the same proteins and stuff?
I think you're right.
You know, like, Matt and Kurt are just coasting in on the wave of the sea.
Yeah.
As such.
John Dory, the best fish in the sea, apparently.
I didn't know that.
News to me.
Yeah.
Never met him. Everyone loved it. Chef would do sex for it, apparently.
Did she say that?
She, well,
Oh, basically, she said, if my man cooked that, we would have a good night later.
Yeah.
Blue.
Yeah. Well, I missed that.
And then Alex King said that it was lickable. She was licking the plate. This is when things became hugely sexual.
Quite steamy.
The turning point.
We call things off with round five. What do you call it? Course five? Round five. Ding, ding, ding. Coconut sorbet with mango, but not just coconut sorbet and mango. Coconut sorbet with hidden mango, some crumble stuff, some bits of passion fruit and dehydrated pineapple.
Looked like a mohawk.
Yes, it did.
Cool look.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on. That came from Jess and Cindy. Everyone loved it. And then they finished off with a charlepois chocolate. Is that right? Did I say that right? Everyone was very impressed by the presentation. Looked ginormous. Looked like a doorstop.
The thing is, there was so much food. I wonder if the Digo took like 80 hours because they always seem to be hungry, even though they were every course was basically the size of a meal.
Have you ever done a degustation?
Yeah.
What about you, Alex? Oh, you did one just recently.
I worried about one like 10 minutes ago.
I did one last week. I did not get a Charlotte chocolat. I would have loved it though. I would have loved to eat that. I was annoyed at everybody being like, "Mwah, too big. Take it home, girls."
You are on fire today.
Yeah,
you really are. I have only done degustation once, and it was at the French Cafe. It was someone who was trying to impress me.
So did it work?
I married him. But at the time, you remember what I was like, you know, many years yonder. I was like a tiny thing, right? I was like, must have weighed no more than like 45 kilograms. And I barely ate anything. Didn't need much to keep me going. And I was also like, I don't know, like flavor and food, I was just a toddler palate. So I really struggled with the degustation. I spent half the night in the toilet because my body was going, what is happening?
Wow.
And they had I wasn't doing the wine because I don't drink. And so I'm pretty sure I had like a fucking Coke on the table or something. And the waiter was going like, when he's taking back like each plate with only half of it eaten, he's like, is there something wrong with the food? I just felt so challenged. It was an awful experience.
I basically think degustations are mostly bad. Because for that reason, like there's too much food, feels like they're trying to push the boat out to the point where you're sort of like, it's like really intense and you have to concentrate and be kind of assaulted with
like
flavour.
The chef's watching you from the kitchen to see what your face is saying about the texture or something. I don't know.
We did one in Napier once. Was on like a paid jolly thing to write about how good Napier was. And Napier was really good.
Sorry, a paid jolly.
Paid jolly, you know.
Well, jolly is a great expression. It's I think it's probably the New Zealand expression that needs the most like elevation because it's cracking and it doesn't get used enough.
Paid jolly is so much better than junket as a term. So much better.
But you don't need paid.
Junket is so formal.
Jolly does the job. You know what? Junket's quite formal, but for mill is even more so.
Oh, that's, I mean, I need to consult with Manu on that because I don't even know what that means. I do not recognise for mill. But we did this one, we did a degustation and there was one where it was like octopus tentacles coming out of like a bed of rocks, you know, and it was like
diorama.
Had so much inedible stuff on each plate that I was scared to bite into anything. Like I was like, I don't know what's food.
Isn't
what's
that
not.
Like a number one rule is never put anything that isn't edible on the plate?
I reckon Alex should have gone for the rock.
Yeah. I think they were edible rocks. There's probably some lovely chocolate crumb or something.
Oh man, could have taken them home. God's sake.
Chef didn't like the charlepois chocolat to have sex for it. She's like wouldn't have a good night.
It's
later
funny
on.
that became her new like matrix for judging.
Will it or won't it get the guy a road?
Colin's flirting with Jess. Is it Jess? He's flirting up a storm.
He's super flirty with Jess.
Yeah,
and they're quite touchy.
I actually, even in the second episode of the week, I was like, I think Colin and I have to stop waltzing into kitchens and like the first thing they do is sticking their hands on people. Times have changed.
No, just not for Colin and Manu.
No. I mean, that was clear at the showcase when
Absolutely.
They came out on stage. When we saw them.
I think they had a bit of grog then.
At the end of the day, poor Anya and Emily got tossed out of the competition quite severely. They had 33 points. Jess and Cindy had 38. Matt and Kurt got 40 points. We go on. We're basically nearly at the end of the season now, which is wild.
It's crazy. It's just the shortest, cracking along, eh?
Shortest season
and
ever.
And yet feels so long.
There's a very strange duality about it all. But we're at the Titirangi Street Festival. We knew this was taking place because Sam lives out that way, our producer. And he, I remember he said, hey, there's an MKR filming happening. They're looking for people to come along. Should I go for the pod? And we said, yes.
It's not a festival, is it?
No, the plate.
It's called Street Feast.
Street Feast.
Street Feast. It's just a
did
food
I say
court.
Festival?
Yeah.
I meant feast.
You did say festival.
Festival. Okay. Anyway, point being, Sam, how was it?
Oh, I didn't go.
Yeah.
Why not? Not hungry.
No, there was a cyclone.
Was it? Because it looked fine. Like, I'm shocked, given that this whole thing was shot during the cyclone, that the weather always seems fine.
Look, if you are, you know, out west was hit pretty bad. If you're hot, like your fridge is flooded, go to Street Feast. Yeah. You know, have a feed. Yeah,
was
free.
It free for people?
Yeah.
I want to know about the parameters. Like, do you get to eat everything if you go to this thing?
I think if you can get around there. Yeah. You know, they were selling out quite quick.
Yeah, so we've got Jess and Cindy doing Mexican. They did an adobo chicken on rice, beef tacos and a sweet corn salad. The judges liked the chicken, but they felt the beef was too rare. It was like little beef steak things, not Mexican shredded beef.
True.
Mm. I didn't like that. And I didn't like them sort of just, they were like, oh, the steak's really rare, but it's fine. We'll just dip it in this sauce. I wouldn't have liked that.
Dip your food poisoning in the sauce.
Well, it's not food poisoning.
It's just deceitful.
It's just
deceitful.
Yeah.
The problem is Pete and Manu bit into it, could see what was happening.
They just
the game was up. Can't
yeah,
trick them.
They noticed the mouthfeel.
Pascal and Vicky start things off with a kiss, which is lovely. And we also find out that they don't need to up the desire in their relationship. They're all sorted.
Oh, yeah.
So I see TMI. More.
I missed so much of the horniness
There's
this week.
So much horniness.
They're
this
saying
week.
There was like some ingredient in something they were using, right?
There's an aphrodisiac.
But this
and
is serve the
ingredient. And shot glasses.
It was lime juice that had been soaking in fish. Like,
is it the ceviche?
Like, as an aphrodisiac.
Is it the ceviche juices?
Yeah, like the sort of acid that it cooks
fake.
It.
You'd be stinking.
That's the thing. Like, who wants to root that?
Oh my God, root. Okay.
Root is back today. Wow, I'm getting emotional.
Oh, yes. Okay, so Peruvian ceviche, spiced chicken in arepas.
Was this the raw chicken or is that somebody else?
No. This chicken wasn't raw. No, it was the other folks who did the raw beef also did the raw chicken. And a bolon de verde. Did I say any of that correctly?
Yeah.
Probably not.
All seemed really yum. And they worked real hard on it. It was,
I really want them to win.
Cool.
Well, I'm just saying, I want them to.
They deserve to win.
They
it
deserve
feels like.
To win. They like, I just, all their food looks so yum. The boys did burgers. I mean, they didn't get the choice. They had to cook in the station that they were given, but.
Well, like, because on, like, well, Burger on a Plate, the Wellington Burger Festival thing, you see some crazy burgers. But what I'm trying to figure out is, like, is it just do something in the style of this restaurant, or do you have to recreate a dish from the restaurant? Because it seemed
no,
like...
No, I think it's just do something in the style of.
Yeah, so so I was like, those burgers are basic. I could have made those. I mean, they would have been terrible.
Well,
like,
I mean,
don't
I think
get
that's
me
the
wrong,
point.
But, you know, they could have done some other burger. Like, for example, KFC's Double Down.
Yum.
Avant-garde take on the burger format.
Yes.
I feel like they were weirdly focused on the mayonnaise for something that was supposed to be about making burgers. They're like, it's all going to be fine because we're making great mayo and then we're going to make the mayo into tartare. Did not know.
Yes.
Tartare starts its origins in mayonnaise.
And then it was just pickles.
It's just like mayo and pickles.
Wow.
It's crazy. Well, I mean, I don't know what I thought tartare was, but
in a sort of a weird reverse of that, I've always loved tartare sauce but hate pickles. And then when I found out it's pickles and tartare sauce, it did not compute.
Wow.
Didn't compute.
It's weird, eh? Is this edutainment, this show?
The chips, that's what they should have been focusing on, blanching those bloody chips.
I didn't know that you could blanch in deep-fried oil. I thought that was just a boiling thing.
Blanching is just cooking very quick, like snap cooking very quickly, isn't it?
Well, pre-cooking to a certain point. I was like, damn, this again, fucking entertainment.
Didn't work though, did it? Because the ones, the chips that they get frozen from the supermarket are already...
They're
pre-blanched, and they didn't allow enough time. They just didn't know what they were working with here.
But they're making cool supermarket chippies.
Oh, that chip. I want that.
The chip making machine. I was like, man, he's banging out some chips here.
I want that, and I want the burger flattening situation.
Yeah.
I want the the gimmicky little tools.
It was cool when Manu came in and was like, this is not how you this is not how you squash a burger, boys.
Well, and a little thumbprint in the middle so that it doesn't get all thick. Crazy stuff.
Yeah, but also make sure you've got real clean nails, eh? Like sticking thumbprints in.
I reckon chefs don't worry about any of that.
Was it last week we had a conversation about toilets? We did lots of talk about toilets, eh? I need to tell you after we've finished recording, but before we leave this call, I need to tell you what happened right after we recorded that last week.
It's not for
public consumption.
But if you become a spin-off member and use the code Jane Toilet in the next 7 days, we'll send you audio.
Oh my god. Anyway, pickle wasn't salty enough. The beef onions were too sweet or something. The chips weren't crispy. Soggy was the word they used.
Don't you think Colin's always going, could do with a bit of lime?
Is he Irish?
A little bit of salt.
Oh, he is Irish, Colin. I thought you were doing that. Everything was bit of salt, bit of...
It was always those two, lime and salt.
But then someone put too much salt and he spat it out.
Yeah.
A delicate balance.
But that's fine, because what you do when you do that is just use kitchen paper to wipe all the marinade off of your chicken.
Yeah.
It works.
And put like just some water in it. I thought that if you'd oversalted it, was like just throw it in the bin.
Me too.
Yeah, good to know.
He did a very dramatic spit out of the chook, didn't he?
Mm. So he knows he's making TV.
That could have been a disaster because all that chicken was, you know, it's too late. They didn't just like do a test marinade and one, no, all in. In the end, no one went home. No one even went home. We just shot Pascal and Vicky straight through to the final. And then there was a weird fist bump. Did you see that at the end?
No.
Like everyone was going around hugging each other.
Oh, yes.
But then... Vicky went to go to Jess and they did like a fist bump instead but then she went straight on to hug Cindy.
So it's like there's beef between Jess and at the very least Vicky, which is great.
Yeah.
We need to see more. I want the backstory.
Would you say that it's rare beef?
I would.
There's not
it's
enough.
It's very, very good.
Thank you. I think that's our podcast.
Oh,
I'm really eager to tell you my toilet story.
Oh, I cannot wait.
Wrap it up.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spin-Off. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spin-Off member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spin-Off. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spin-Off member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spin-Off Podcast Network.